Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
A while ago, I noticed something kind of weird. Amy Adams, you know, the actress, America's sweetheart and all, she kept showing up in bathtub scenes. Now, this isn't the kind of thing I go looking for, but once I noticed it, I just kept seeing it over and over and over again. Amy's in the bath in Nocturnal Animals. She's in the bath in Miss Pettigrew. She's in the bath and in the window in Woman in the Window. She's studying a bullet made of an experimental alloy in the bath when Superman strolls in with the groceries and joins her in the tub. And that's not even including all the time she's in a bathtub on a TV series. And when there's no tub to be found, she's in the shower, magically growing extra nipples, in the case of her latest movie, Night Bitch. What I'm saying is, Amy's an A-lister. If she doesn't want to do a bathtub scene, she probably doesn't have to. It all seems performative. I mean, yes, obviously it's a performance, but it seems like a secret performance, a coded performance, directed at somebody. But who? And why? I know, it's weird. But listen, I believe Amy Adams in a bathtub is a universal condition. Just another truth floating around the collective unconscious. Amy Adams does a lot of bathtub scenes. It seems like it's not random. It seems like there's a reason for it. But wait, okay, let me tell you who I am. My name is Brandon R. Reynolds. I'm a journalist, and I've spent my career chasing after odd stories that are important in ways that we can't always see from the outside. I've reported on things like flying cars and coyotes and art and culture and all kinds of stuff. But this bathtub thing seemed like a story that was too good to ignore. And also too weird to maybe be true. I don't know. Whatever it was, it also seemed like a story that was too big to do alone. So that's when I reached out to a fellow journalist. Her name's Gabby Lombardo, and she's more of a film buff than I am. Hello, Gabby.
Hello, Brandon. I remember our first phone call like it was yesterday, okay? I was not an entertainment journalist back then. I was a lowly editorial assistant. And here's Brandon, this real shoe-leather journalist who lived on a ship in Antarctica for like 2 months, reporting on ice or taking a cruise, I don't know.
No, it wasn't a cruise. I was reporting on animals that were on the ice. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's a separate podcast that we'll do some other time.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Right. So, you know, you hear Antarctica, you think this man's the real deal.
Hell yeah.
So I'm intimidated. And then you hit me with, hey, so Amy Adams does a lot of tubs, huh? And I'm like, what the hell? I think I laugh, but then I realized he was serious. We get off the call. I'm lamenting the demise of journalism. This is what our best and brightest are thinking of, Amy in the bath.
Rude.
And then I get to thinking about it, and it just becomes this little brain worm. I had just seen Amy in a bath in Woman in the Window. She's in tubs and showers and bathrooms all the time, and they're memorable scenes. They just come to me. He's onto something. There is something under the surface of all those tubs, much like that Antarctic ice.
Oh, look at that transition. Look at that.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
That's right. And speaking of transitions, let's use that as an opportunity to transition into talking about what this show is, which is going to answer a very simple question. Why is Amy in the bath? And that sent us on a real journey that lasted a couple of years drove at least one of us to madness at least once or twice, and has yielded some really interesting answers. Not necessarily the ones we were looking for, but all kinds of other stuff that, I don't know, maybe takes us to the core of the American experience. And there's a lot to think about. Over these six episodes, we're going to get into the secret history of cinema's bathtubs and showers. We're going to figure out what bathing has to say about culture across 100 years, how that connects to consumerism and sex and all of these other weird things. It connects to a lot, for real. So if there is a conspiracy, it's one that we're all currently embroiled in.
This whole conversation started snowballing about 3 years ago. When we first got into it, did you really think Amy was doing tub scenes on purpose?
Yes. I mean, that was the first thing I thought. It made sense in a weird way. I mean, I settled into the conspiracy theory like a warm soup.
Why Amy?
Well, I mean, I guess there wasn't a real reason. It was just that she was the one that I noticed. And maybe that's significant because she was doing a bunch of different roles. She was a princess, she was an art dealer, she was an alcoholic, she was a con artist, she was Lois Lane. So I don't know, they just stood out.
And did you have any idea back then about why she was doing these tub scenes?
Well, Gabby, experience has taught me that a stupid theory usually has a stupid explanation. So I just assumed she was doing it to win awards.
Okay, so that makes sense, kind of, right? Because she's won a bunch of critics' awards, couple Golden Globes, and she's been nominated for 6 Oscars, but famously has never won. Remember at the 2017 Oscars when she was snubbed for Arrival? And Meryl got the nom over her for Florence Foster Jenkins, that horrific movie.
Uh-oh.
But at least a wonderful Hugh Grant performance. 10 out of 10, would recommend. Anyways, that's what everyone was talking about. How she hasn't ever won Best Actress. She could be our new Glenn Close.
That's true, yeah. So that was my thinking going into it, is here you have this actress, very well regarded, very popular, doing all kinds of movies, gets very close, never actually wins. And she's also very influential, right? At this point, she's now a producer, an executive producer, so she has a lot of industry juice. So why else would she want to go through the annoyance of sitting in a tub or taking a shower when she could just as easily be having a deep, serious, dramatic conversation in a cafe or in a bed? I mean, a tub scene is, you know, it's uncomfortable. You have to be naked or semi-naked. It's cold. It's long. You know, it seems like it's a pain in the ass.
Well, slippery, you know, danger, danger.
That's all right. To say nothing of how dangerous it is. Remember, Gabby, in the early days of this project, before we learned all of the terrifying stuff that we ended up learning, what came to me very early on and stuck in my head in the kind of conspiracy theory way, and that I went around trying to convince you and everybody of, was that it seemed to me like the bathtub offers more possibilities for quote-unquote real acting, really dramatic scenes. So I thought, could doing a tub scene be a secret shortcut to Hollywood's biggest night?
And then the implications were very ominous. Is Amy Adams, who's never won an Oscar, trying to game the system?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
So this project, when we talk about it, people always go, huh, that's so insane. But everyone's a little bit hooked. And the reason is because everyone has some kind of vague or overt memory of like, yeah, bathtubs. They've all got like their bathtub or shower movie, right?
Right.
Psycho, I think, is a big one we get. What do other people say?
I hear Black Swan a lot. And that's Natalie Portman kind of dissociating in the tub. Right, she's seeing visions, she's submerged, and then she does the whole coming up for breath, and it's very dramatic.
Classic.
And that's Darren Aronofsky. He loves tubs, that director. And she won an Oscar for that, right?
Yep.
Classic, you know, femme psychological thriller, tragic ending, very artsy.
And then for an older generation, there's Fatal Attraction, there's What Lies Beneath. There's a whole genre of ladies in danger. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously a lot of what we're going to be talking about in the next six episodes is about women's experiences in the tub. And so a lot of that often involves peril in addition to titillation. We'll get into all that. But before that, Gabby, do you remember what your first exposure to Amy Adams was?
I do. Yeah, okay. This was formative. I don't know if you've ever been a 10-year-old girl, Brandon, but that's what I was when I saw Enchanted for the first time. And Amy as Princess Giselle just knocked my socks off.
Hello?
Come in.
Yeah, come in.
Oh, good morning, Robert. Oh, that's too thoughtful of you. Thank you. Oh, I hope you had nice dreams.
I think I'm still in one.
This is a magical room. Where does the water come from?
The water comes from the pipes.
Where do the pipes get it?
I don't know. Wherever the pipes get it. Yeah.
Oh, it is magical.
That was the first Disney live-action original princess. You know, all the others were like, we're making a live-action version of Cinderella, of Beauty and the Beast. But Amy, she just kind of sprang fully formed. And she was an amazing singer. And she somehow trod that line between the fantasy of a princess story that a gal like me really ate up back then, and the satire of it. She nailed that kind of old school animated voice actress princess breathy thing.
Right.
And she was kind of wide-eyed, and it was believable, but also deeply knowing.
Yeah.
She's always been smart to me.
Yeah, that's right. She feels like a real person. She feels like someone you know, but then she opens her eyes a little bit wider and she feels magical, feels sort of exotic and princessy. That makes sense.
So yeah, I wanted to be Amy, or I wanted her to babysit me, you know, like that is the coolest lady. But for you, it was probably different, huh? Because you probably saw her younger.
Yeah. I saw her in a bunch of stuff that didn't exactly register at the time. Drop Dead Gorgeous, you know, I saw that. When that came out, she had a bit part in that as a very bitchy character.
I die from these fumes. You make sure and cover up the hickeys on my neck.
Oh, yeah.
And the bite marks on my ears.
Yeah, sure.
And I know it won't show, but on my inner thighs.
Yes, Leslie. Okay.
You know, she played the mean girl as well as the kind of innocent girl. That's because she has that little upturned nose and that reads as like, oh, she's the pretty mean girl. I can see that. But the first time I really remember her was in Junebug. It's an indie, it's her movie, bit of a tour de force. She has a lot to do in that. You know, she has to be innocent, but she has to feel real. She's pregnant. There's a lot of tragedy.
It's not my fault.
Of course.
And all that time and all that stuff I got, all those months, it was just all for nothing. And those fucking doctors, they think that they know everything, but they don't know anything. They don't know anything. I don't understand. I don't understand. Why would God let this happen? Why would he? I just...
But I don't know that I really started to love her as an actress until Arrival. And also, you know, that was a sci-fi movie, and I loved sci-fi. I love that movie very much. And I think what she had to do there to be emotional in this speculative space without ruining it too much, you know, it is about this perception of time. And I think she did a great job of facing something that no one in the human race had ever encountered before.
Yeah.
And managing to tie that back to her own lived emotional experience.
How can you know the future? I don't understand. Who is this child?
So then after that, as the thing happens, you discover that person, then you go back and see the other things they've done. So after that, I saw her in Catch Me If You Can, and she just...
Brenda!
Yeah, with the braces.
But Frank, you're not a Lutheran?
Frank, stop teasing me. You're Frank Connors. You're Frank Connors, and you're 28 years old. And...
Brenda.
Why would you lie to me?
Brenda.
I want to know your name.
You
tell me your name.
We can live anywhere we want. And all the Y2K girlies are in that movie.
Who else is in there?
Jen Garner, okay.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, Elizabeth Banks is amazing as like a teller, like a sexy teller.
Oh, right, yeah.
All the various women who are obsessed with Frank, and yet yeah. He picks Amy in her braces with her Louisiana accent.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of steals those scenes she's in with him.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know... Amy Adams was actually the first one to stick a pretty little heeled foot on Leo DiCaprio's chest.
Is that right?
Yes. It was not Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
It was Amy.
She had her clothes on, though, so we don't remember it quite as much as we do Leo being stomped on in Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm.
That has a lot to do with it, which ties us back to the tub thing. And one of the things that make bathtubs... such a exciting experience for the film goer and presumably for the directors who want to put butts in seats.
So Arrival, at first glance, looked like an excellent vehicle for Amy to finally win that statuette, right? But it was her great near miss. Maybe she's kicking herself today, you know, like, oh, God. Maybe if that decontamination chamber was a decontamination tub, they would have given it to me.
Exactly right. You see, now you're thinking about it. Maybe that's what would have put it over the line.
One big question we have is, what does Amy Adams think, right? Like, is she doing bathtubs consciously? Is she sitting down with her team and going, okay, we need to find a project that has 2.4 tub scenes and at least one shower, go?
Yeah, that's a question. And look, maybe, Gabby, it's an open secret in Hollywood that tubs equal prestige. But see, if that's the case, then I feel like we know that out here in the world already. So more likely my idea going into it that I think I contaminated you with, and that we have now carried forward over the last couple of years, is maybe there's something buried deep in the collective unconscious of American movie culture, and maybe Amy Adams knows that her tub performances seem to go over better with viewers. Yeah, well, yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, if she's discovered this hack, I have no problem with that. I absolutely applaud her for exploiting it. I mean, I don't think we have any love for the sanctity of the Oscars, no offense, or any of the other awards things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all lousy with bias, and who really cares anymore anyway? So if she can break it by sitting in some tubs, that's amazing. And I think we'd both be glad to have been a part of figuring that out, wouldn't we?
That's the biggest gap, right? The Amy Adams gap. So... we reached out to her, and hopefully we'll hear back soon. But listeners, if you or someone you love is Amy Adams, please get in touch.
So that's all the kind of qualitative, subjective vibes type stuff that people always talk about when they're talking about movies and whether people are going to win awards. And that was fine for us having general discussions, but we knew that we couldn't just prove that Amy was doing tub scenes on purpose without looking deeper into the machinery that drives the world, which is to say data. We had to really dig in there and figure out if there is any truth to this idea that Amy Adams is doing bathtub scenes to win Oscars.
And how to do that? Well, first, we had to figure out how many bathtub scenes she'd done. Or really, first, we had to figure out what we were trying to figure out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we had a lot of conversations, remember, at the very beginning about what sort of thing counted.
Right. We knew we wanted to count Amy's shower scenes, even though we didn't know if they meant the same thing as bathtubs.
Yeah, the whole idea of meaning we'll get into later on. But in addition to tubs and showers, there was all this other stuff, right? Scenes in pools or hot tubs or rivers or lakes, all of that stuff, which were scenes that my dear departed stepfather, who was probably the biggest film buff I ever knew, called Leisure Water. So that was the other category.
Right, so we had to go big or go home. We had to watch every single second of Amy's screen time and note where she appeared in bathtubs, showers, or leisure water. So I mainlined her entire IMDb, okay? From her very first credit, 1999's Drop Dead Gorgeous, through all her weird TV guest roles, which, Brandon, do you remember that she wore a fat suit in an episode of Smallville?
No, I can't say that I did.
No? Well, I do, okay? This is logged. And beyond. And you know what, Brandon? I never got sick of seeing Amy on screen. Never, not once, even if I got sick of the act of seeking out tub scenes.
I think that says something.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
If I may, let me talk about the absolute hell of doing this for a second, okay? Because you think you can pinpoint all of Amy's tub scenes, but you'd be surprised. Because they're not all available online. NudeCelebs.com, while I tip my hat to you, you are a wonderful resource, is not always accurate. So I ended up having to just scroll through each of these films on my Apple TV remote, which those who are in the know, you know how miserable that is. Because it's not a button, it's a freaking touchpad. My right thumb does not feel the same.
This is the beginning of your descent into madness.
And when I couldn't find them on streaming, I had to pirate them.
You had to borrow it from the internet. You had to borrow it gently from the internet.
Yes, I would say this was very gently mounted.
Yes.
So in addition to watching all these projects, I would also read through the screenplays, searching each PDF for all our SAT words, bath, tub, shower, lake, pool, wash. And this was a strange screenwriting 101 class for me because I would get a bunch of false positives. Screenwriters are apparently in love with the phrase shower of sparks. So screenplays, they're kind of their own weird little animal.
Yeah. And on that note, starting to go through the screenplays, we also noticed something interesting, which was the ways in which the writers themselves are using these scenes to load up on cinematic importance. For example, here's a scene from Nocturnal Animals.
Interior, Moro residence, Susan's bathroom, night. Susan lies in her tub with her eyes open, thinking. There is only a dim light in the room coming from the open door.
And here's another one, good old scene 89.
Susan is in her tub. Her face is completely submerged. Her eyes are open. She suddenly sits up and gasps for air.
Amy also showers in scene 56.
Susan is in the shower, leaning against the wall, just letting the water run over her face and body. She is deep in thought.
So in the screenplays, you see that the writers are obviously intending the tubs to be a place for a lot of thinking, and also that thing where people submerge themselves until they can't stand it anymore, which is like a test of endurance, I think.
Right. We went through Amy's entire body of work. 40 movies, 11 TV projects.
Yeah, and this is where I started to sweat, because this is where we really began to test this conspiracy theory that we'd come up with to see if it actually held up.
Okay, so 40 films, 11 TV projects. Keep that in mind. Of those, Amy appears in a tub in 5 projects. Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day, Batman v Superman, Nocturnal Animals, Sharp Objects, The Woman in the Window. But she's not just in tubs. She's in a shower in 4 projects. Enchanted, my fave. Sunshine Cleaning, Brandon's fave because he has a crush on Emily Blunt, but whatever. Leap Year, Nocturnal Animals again, and Night Bitch. Finally, she's in what we'll call Leisure Water, in this case, a lake, in 1 project, Trouble with the Curve. So of her 51 total projects, 9 feature at least 1 tub, shower, or leisure water scene. That's not 9 scenes. That's just projects that featured at least 1 water scene. So for instance, in Nocturnal Animals, she's got 3 water scenes. In Sharp Objects, there are a lot. But of course, Nocturnal Animals, Sharp Objects, they each just count as 1. So we'd have to dig into the differences between tubs, showers, and leisure water, but that was a question for later. For now, the raw numbers. Amy's bathing in 1/5 of all her films, and a little less than that, 17.6%, in her entire filmography, TV included.
But check this out. I can tell you this. Since 2016, which was the year Arrival came out, and which, you know, is probably maybe her most well-regarded role, she's done 10 projects that are currently out there in the world. That includes film and TV. She's in a tub or shower in 5 of those.
Oh my gosh.
So half of her recent projects involve a bathing scene. And mind you, this is Amy at the height of her power. She could veto a tub scene if she wanted to. But in fact, she was a producer or an executive producer on some of those bathing scenes. So we know that she's there making that decision every time to say, I'm getting in that tub. Why? Well, to answer that, I once again have to return to a scene from a movie, Gabby, that I have a very conflicted relationship with. It is Batman v Superman, The Dawn of Justice.
They held hearings about what happened. They're saying...
I don't care. I don't care what they're saying. The woman I love could have been blown up or shot. Think of what could have happened.
Well, think about what did happen.
I didn't kill those men, if that's what they think, if that's what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying I want to understand what happened. I'm saying thank you for saving my life. I'm saying there's a cost. I just don't know if it's possible.
Don't know if what's possible.
For you to love me and be you.
Brandon, there's no the. It's just Dawn of Justice.
I know. As soon as I said it, there's no the. It's Dawn of Justice. But listen to that scene carefully. Really listen to it. And you will hear all kinds of deeper, more sinister meanings to her analyzing that bullet and exploring her relationship with Superman, because she's reporting on the guy and she's also having him cook dinner while she's in the tub. Basically, it's a scene in which she's considering the fact that she has a weapon of mass destruction at her disposal. And somehow that all works because she's in the tub.
Mm.
That's the argument anyway. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say, I think we're trained as viewers to pay more attention when there's a tub or shower scene. It's always something important is going to happen here. Could be sex. Could be murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could be a very serious and important conversation with Superman. I don't know. Whatever. So, yeah, if you're Amy, and in some ways all of us are Amy, why not try and load up on those scenes to improve your chances of winning awards?
Okay, but say Amy does want to do these scenes. What is it about her that directors keep wanting to put her in a tub, you know?
Mm-hmm. That was the question we had. And consequently, that was the question I put to this guy.
Well, as I was thinking about it, right, I've been an Amy Adams fan since Jerry Buck, and really have, she's probably my favorite contemporary actress.
This is Henry Jenkins. He's a professor of media and culture at the University of Southern California. Henry's written or edited, no kidding, dozens of books on media and pop culture. Henry thinks it's because she's the girl next door, that Amy's continuing a lineage that includes Claudette Colbert and goes all the way up to Julia Roberts.
She's sexy, she's playful, she's powerful, she's intelligent, and she's got fiery red hair in at least most of her movies, all of which makes her really interesting. So just as a 1950s movie might really enjoy showing us the girl next door in her PJs, I think showing Amy Adams in a bathtub creates that all of those meanings of sensuality and playfulness that one wants to have with a girl next door type actress.
Not to brag, Gabby, but as an alum of USC grad school, I knew Henry had this rep as a film savant. And when I asked him, he said, sure, he's happy to talk about Amy and Tubbs just off the top of his head, which, of course, just reinforced my conspiracy theory. But man, Henry's thought a lot about all this.
And because she goes between comedy and melodrama, she goes between playfulness and pain in what she expresses in a tub. But she's also too playful an actress to not enjoy that kind of peekaboo thing with the bathtub.
So when your early days on a basically crazy journalistic endeavor like Why is Amy in the Bath? It's people like Henry who tell you you're maybe on the right track. These are important moments in a project like this. He's also seeing something in her performances. And when it comes to bathtubs and cinema, he knows what he's talking about.
If we look historically, Cecil B. DeMille was the filmmaker of the silent era known for his bathtub scenes.
When Henry was a kid, he used to thumb through this big book on film from 1970, which was called The Movies.
And it has a two-page spread of nothing but bathtubs from Cecil B. DeMille films. Photograph after photograph after photograph, because he loved the ornateness of the bathtub. And for him, there was something sensual and decadent about the tub itself that was worth paying attention to.
Okay, but back to Amy. Did Henry say whether all these bathing scenes were actually a good way to win awards?
I mean, kind of.
But there is a sense of vulnerability and exposure that the tub creates, as well as intimacy. And so thinking about sharp objects and the scars on her body, that moment of stripping down for someone who has got a very tough, armored exterior and showing the marks on flesh of traumatic experiences and maybe crying in the bathtub allows them for those kind of great moments of intimate acting that might get you consideration, in that case, for an Emmy, or in other cases, for an Oscar.
So for Amy, he says that maybe
being in the tub stands in for being stripped raw emotionally and exposing her traumatic insides to the world.
But the big question still eluded us, Gabby, which was, what the hell does any of this have to do with prestige? All we really know is, per Henry and from reading through zillions of scripts, the tub scenes are the kind of thing that you could see as maybe the sort of scene that might possibly improve your chances of winning. It's vibes, right? It feels like an important scene. So,
Seba, you drag me down the rabbit hole with you, and yet the problem is and has always been whether we were seeing real evidence of a conspiracy here. Are we galaxy-brained, or are we just doing that human thing where we find patterns where there are none?
I know. That's how everything is in the world now. Some things just feel true and important and worth orienting your life around. And maybe they are, or maybe we're just crazy and seeing images in static.
The truth don't live on vibes alone, V. We knew we had to get scientific with it. Quantitative.
And that meant going back to the well of data. So, What do we do at this point? We, and by we, I mean, sadly, Gabby.
Yeah, I'm the guy in the chair. I am the cue. He just wanted a cue, so here I am.
Went through 1,500 movies, counting up all the bathtub, shower, leisure water scenes in all of those movies to figure out who's doing what. Men, women, old, young, black, white, whether it's happy, sad, sexy, suspenseful, all of that. An actual compendium of the secret history of bathtubs in American cinema.
A veritable tranche of data.
You've never entirely come back from that, I think. There was a part of you that went into the wilderness looking at these movies, and you've definitely got the crazy eye a little bit now.
Oh my God. I mean, I would just enter into a fugue state.
Mm-hmm.
My eye would start twitching.
Yeah.
When you're jacked up on gummy bears and espresso.
That's right. I think that you were seeing patterns of the universe beyond just what we were actually looking for. We can get into that a little later. But okay, looking at these movies, all kinds of things showed up, right? Feminism in the tub, sex, murder, money in the tub. The surprising role that Gwyneth Paltrow plays in tub history. Crotch novels.
All right, slow down.
Crotch novels was the thing that you told me about that I'd never even heard of.
Oh my gosh. Listeners, if you know what a crotch novel is, babe, reach out, hit that line, amyinthebathpod@gmail.com, address it to Gabby.
Oh boy.
Let's filter them emails through to me. B doesn't need to see them, okay?
No, I won't understand it anyway. Okay, but we'll get into all of that and then some. I think it's safe to say that this series definitely started with a very stupid premise.
Immensely dumb.
Yeah. And has taken us truly into some extremely exotic territory. And Gabby, as you know, this podcast is that most exciting of things. It's a live project. Things are changing on the fly. And so we'll be responding to some of this stuff in real time. Mm-hmm. That was the whole reason we put this project together now. Is that Night Bitch was all of a sudden getting all this Academy Award chatter.
Man, we knew it was important, so we went to Night Bitch opening night. And if you've ever wanted to see a 6'4 Texan fall to his knees, take him to Night Bitch.
Yeah.
Brandon bolted when Amy pulled out that pussy tail of hers.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, a lot of bathroom scenes, couple shower scenes, and she's been on the press circuit.
Yeah, and again, after the two of us have been working on this thing for the last 3 years, we thought, is this the moment? Is she going to get the big award?
This magic moment.
That's right. That's right. So for the rest of this season of Why is Amy in the Bath, we'll talk with people who have written tub scenes, who've designed sets for tub scenes, and who've survived acting in tub scenes.
We'll survey a full century of bathtubs and showers in the movies, from the early days of Hollywood to the true meaning of those old Calgon commercials and what it all has to do with crime fiction. Then, we're going to chase bathing off the screen and into American life, baby, to weird ends. Like, if you look at 21st century bathtubs, they really speak to Y2K as the birth of an endless now, an obsession with nostalgia.
And the way sex itself, like real world sex, went swirling down the drain. But of course, there's one person we want to talk to more than anyone, Gabby. The woman of the hour, the woman in the window, the woman in the tub. The only woman who can answer the question that started this whole thing off. Amy Adams herself. That's all coming up. For now, I'm Brandon R. Reynolds.
And I'm Gabby Lombardo, and we'll see you next time. Why is Amy in the Bath is produced by Brandon and me for Grab Bag Collab. Our theme song and music is by Nathan Reedy. And our script dramatizations were furnished by Janet Vary. New episodes drop Mondays for Grab Bag subscribers and go wide Fridays. Listen, if you subscribe to Grab Bag, you'll get access to a bunch of cool stuff. Extended interviews, more tub data, and some bathtub after dark convos. You will not be disappointed. You want to sink deeper into the tub with us? Email us at amyinthebathpod@gmail.com. Check out our Substack, becauseitstrue.substack.com, where we talk more about our research and the secret history of the movies. Finally, follow us on Letterboxd at AmyBathPod for curated lists of Tub films.